Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast, the number one podcast for SB Nation's The Dream Shake. My name is Mike Brown. I am one of the co-hosts for the show, night 4 of 5 in a row that we are going live here on Spotify Live, going to talk all things Houston Rockets. I can't do that alone this evening. I'm joined by the co-host of The Dream Take, Jeremy Brenner. Jeremy, what's going on, man?
How it be, Mikey B?
a little tired, but we're here, man. We're vibing. We're here. We're almost there, man. Literally 24 hours from now, the Rockets will have made, what, at least one pick, probably a second pick?
Probably just one pick if things go the way it should, but... Okay. Never know what this Rockets team. They could make all of the picks by this time tomorrow.
I mean, that's fair. What, you know, I've asked you this over the last couple of weeks, but like we're 24 hours away now. What are your thoughts? I mean, are you excited? Are you nervous at all? Like, what are you feeling?
I don't know. I usually, honestly, Mike, like I haven't been nervous this whole draft process just because I know at the end of the day, The Rockets are going to end up with one of the three best players in this draft. Hopefully the best player in this draft. And that, I think, is how things are looking with Jabari likely going one, and Paolo Banchero, who has been my number one since the start, hopefully will be Houston Rocket by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, there's some news. There's some speculation out there. There was a trade within the last 6 hours. Correct. For some reason, the Detroit Pistons made that deal. Jeremy Grant for a 2025 first round pick. What is Detroit doing?
Detroit is clearing cap space to make a run at DeAndre Ayton and or Miles Bridges in free agency. Because Now with moving off of Jeremy Grant, that's $20 million off of this year's cap space for them. That clears up that money to go and get a guy like DeAndre Ayton or a guy like Miles Bridges. I doubt they get both. I think that Charlotte is more keen on keeping Miles Bridges versus Phoenix keeping Ayton. But that's why you make that move if you're Detroit. If you are Portland, you make that move because you need to contend now while Dame is at his peak, possibly. I don't know if we've seen the best of Damian Lillard, but when you have Damian Lillard on your team healthy, that's a sign that you should probably go and compete, and that's what they're doing with this move. There's also rumors that they might be shopping number 7. I don't know if they'll be able to do that with OG Anunoby. I know there's links to that, because the problem with Toronto is that Toronto, they don't have a first-round pick. I believe that pick belongs to San Antonio with the Thaddeus Young trade, so... Like, if they wanted – I don't see why Portland would go 7 for OG Anunoby. That's, like, kind of a bit high for him, even though this draft, like, number 7 is not as good in this draft as it has been in the past. But that was, like, the first, you know, domino. I think it gets teams thinking, okay, like, you know, this is draft season right now for sure.
Yeah, it's draft season. Now, it was a little quiet on the Rockets' home front today compared to yesterday. I mean, the news was just flying yesterday, it felt like.
Monday.
Yeah, today. Sorry. 2 days ago. All the days are starting to be clumped together.
Exactly.
There is updated news of Atlanta looking to move on from John Collins by the draft tomorrow night. There's a lot of smoke being drummed up there. If you're the Rockets, would you have any interest in John Collins?
Yes and no. I think we showed, though, does he make the team better? Yes. But I think the reason behind the Christian Wood trade was to, like, free up some space in the front court. But
sure,
adding John Collins totally, does the opposite. And at the same time, John Collins, that 5-year 125, looked a lot better a year ago, doesn't look as good now at 4-100, and they're already trying to trade him. And that restricts you moving forward after this season, what the Rockets want to do. The Rockets want to be like the Pistons this year, right? The Pistons right now, they have...
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, in terms of this, they want... The Pistons right now have the potential to go after a bunch of high-profile free agents. And they have the young core now with Cade, with the number 5 pick in tomorrow's draft, Killian Hayes. You know, they have a young core that they can, you know, pair with some free agents and finally start getting this thing rolling. That's where I think the Rockets want to be next year. I think
Hold on. Let me stop you there. Why would the Pistons be able to do that this year and the Rockets not? There's no difference between the rosters.
Because the Pistons have the cap space. The Rockets don't have the cap space this year.
Well, they could if, you know, they moved on from one of the 5 most selfish players of all time in John Wall.
Well, that's the thing is they've tried to, but they haven't. Next year, they're finally off the books with John Wall. They're finally like that whole Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, John Wall contract disaster finally ends tomorrow. So, or no, not tomorrow. Sorry.
Next year.
It finally ends in a year from now. So that's what I say when I say that that's where the Rockets want to be next year is they want to have that cap space available in a year from now and go after the 2023 free agents.
That's fair.
And so yeah, that's where I think the Rockets are moving. But yeah, I think we're still 1 year away from this, like from really looking to take a major step forward. I think this year is about taking a small step forward, but I think next year is where we're taking a step and we're turning it into a leap.
We do have our first speaker request of the night. We pride ourselves, I would say, in being the most interactive podcast in the land. We bring up our first guest, DJ. DJ, what's going down, my man?
What's up, man? Can you hear me?
Oh, you are crystal clear.
All right, man. Tick, what's going on, y'all? What's up, Michael, man? What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, DJ?
What you got for us?
All right, man. So, look, I've been listening to the show for a little minute now, man. You know, never decided to jump into space yet before, you know, wanted to get kind of comfortable with you guys and see how y'all takes on. So, Jeremy, I need you to step to the side. I have a little bit of beef with Michael, man, because I think you have the obligation as a podcaster to kind of like inform Rockets fans that I understand you giving your opinion and your analysis about it, but I think you think so much about the future, but more so right now. And I think with the Rockets, because I've been a Rockets fan since 94, since I was 9 years old. And I'm pretty sure y'all been watching the Rockets for a while too. And you can attest to this, that we've never had to have a full-on rebuild. So this is kind of new for all of us. No matter what, we've always been a mid-level winning team. You know, we got James Harden. Of course, we went to the Western Conference Finals and everything of that nature. But this is the first time we've actually had the chance to rebuild. So I think in this moment right now, we got to kind of like take a step back and kind of like embrace all the moves that are being made.
Okay, so DJ. Okay, so are you still there?
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, I think you're cutting in and out, DJ. Hello? Yeah, you're still here. All right, so let me ask you a question. So this is actually the second time that they've rebuilt. If you remember, they tanked when they got the number one pick with Yao, right? But here's the thing. I refuse to be complacent with what they've done the last few years. They don't deserve to have the fandom that they have after what they've put forward the last 2 years. And there are fans out there, a lot of fans out there like myself, that are not going to blindly support the organization and the moves that they've made. And I'm calling them on those moves. That's all I'm doing.
Right.
But
right.
I've also said that they have a lot of – I said they've made a lot of good moves. Not a lot, some good moves.
So let me ask you this question.
Sure.
So what, as far as, okay, I heard you speaking, I think on the last episode, you was mm-hmm. like about the what's his the guy that went to Cleveland, the big man with the afro. What's his
Jared
name?
Allen. Jared Allen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you feel like they should have took Caris LeVert and Jared out of package.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out. But if you're asking me,
do you think they should have got the players in return?
I would have taken Jared Allen on this team, yes, in about 5 milliseconds. But the fact is, they wanted to not pay him, and they wanted, they didn't want to pay that contract because they're a team that wasn't going to be able to compete. It still doesn't make it any less of a bad move, in my opinion.
Okay, so I just feel like in this moment, because I don't feel like Silas is going to be here for the long term. I believe what Stone is trying to do is basically, and I know y'all know, because y'all not stupid, they're trying to bottom out, create some salary cap space, and kind of like what Detroit is doing, like I mentioned earlier just now, what Detroit is doing, and basically trying to gear up for a big free agency to where they can throw some big money at, which I'm okay with, because you got to think, if Jalen Green projects the way we project him to be, they're going to have a bag for him also. So I just think they're trying to bottom out, create all type of crazy space, cap room. It's just – and I'm also with you, Mike, about Tillman. Tillman is going to have to go ahead and just show us, prove us that he's really into this team and cough up some cash when that time arrives. I think that's going to be really the – in the next 2-3 years, that's when it's going to be where we're going to really see where the Rockets are. Because hopefully they're able to get Banchero. And build around these two guys if they pan out the way we think they're going to pan out.
No, DJ, I think you're right on. We do have a couple other speaker requests. I'm going to address what you said and come back on anytime, my man. You know, we look forward to chopping it up at any time. I think we'd have a really great conversation down the road.
Thanks, DJ.
Look, man, see, we can have discourse and we end up, you know, still family in the end.
That's kind of our thing here is, you know, you're the fan voice while I'm more journalistic voice between the two and it somehow works.
And I think that my problem with what he just said is the same disagreement you and I had with Detroit's making these moves, right? What if they don't land Ayton? Like, what if Ayton goes somewhere else? What if the owner in...
Well, then they'll have that cap space for the following year.
But that's the thing, right? That you're making my point. Go make the team better now.
Eventually, though, these things are going to land.
Eventually, yes.
And they're probably going to be bad next year, and they're probably going to get another high pick in the 23 draft, which is better than this one. And, you know, a lot can change in a year from now. But like, Detroit is also turning itself into a pretty attractive destination for free agents in terms of
competing.
I think so.
Come on, man.
Playing next to Cade and playing, like, being part of a contender. Like,
having to live in Detroit? I mean, I have family in Detroit, but I mean, come on, man.
That's the one part about
they're going to have to overpay. Okay, Cade's been in the league a year. He's looked nice. You know, yeah, they're probably going to end up with what in the draft? Who are they going to get in the draft? Who do you project them to take in the draft?
I think they're going to get Jaden Ivey in the draft. I think
that's what we should. Yeah.
I know, but...
But this is the thing.
I think Cade and Ivey could be kind of like Kevin Porter and Jalen Green for them.
Oh, I think Cade and Ivey would be sick. But that's the way for me... The problem with
what I'm saying, who wouldn't want to go play with Cade and Ivey? That's what I'm saying. Someone eventually will say, yes, I want to go play with Cade and Ivey. It may not be this year, but eventually what they turn into and what they're going to grow into, that's attractive to play with. Who wouldn't want to, you know, like they're going to become like personally, I think Detroit is not going to have to rebuild again. I think they will make the playoffs. And I think the next time that they are good again, Cade will be there.
That's fair.
The primary player. Yeah.
Let's move on to our next speaker request. Alex, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Night before the draft. Doesn't get any better. What you got?
So, I don't know if y'all saw reports about the Sixers and the Suns interested in Eric Gordon?
Yes, sir.
What do y'all think about that? And then I've been looking up on latest mock drafts, and like someone that I've seen twice, I can't even pronounce his name, but it's like that guy from the G League at 26.
Yes. That's my guy.
So I watched some of his highlights, and holy crap.
Well, he's
the vision.
Well, he's also a Seattle guy, as is Paolo Banchero, as is Rafael Stone. So there's the connection there. There's a connection between Marjon Beauchamp and Jalen Green. If they draft at 26, I think Beauchamp is definitely a possibility. I don't know. Jeremy, I think they have a better chance at drafting at 26 than they do at 17.
So what would you guys say if they came out with Paolo, Tari Eason, and Bojan?
That's my dream draft right there.
They still need a big man.
Well,
that's what I would say. I mean that is the God's honest truth of
Mike, you just cannot be fully impressed ever.
It's not okay, first of all, that's not true. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen you happy with this team.
Because I haven't been. You and I have literally been together since the fallout in the bubble and then the two of the worst years this franchise has ever had.
We really did start this podcast at the wrong time.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like, and that's what's funny, is I would love to have a drink with DJ and like honestly talk Rockets basketball, because so many people I feel like are terrified of giving an honest assessment of this roster. It's Jalen Green is the best player, and Alperen Şengün is this and he's that. And I'm like, okay, you can't defend the rim. Silas sucks. KPJ is not a real point guard. Like, those are honest assessments of the team that I feel like nobody else wants to talk about. So with that draft, right, Jeremy, break it down, right? You love Paolo. Paolo's been your guy at three the whole time, right?
Yes.
Okay. You and I both love Tari Eason.
Yes.
Big fan of Marjon Beauchamp.
He can play without the ball. He just needs to add a three-point shot. That's like the main thing for him.
Okay, so you do realize we have that guy.
Who?
KJ Martin.
Yes, it could be KJ Martin. You're right.
That's my point. Is you already have him. You pissed him off for some unknown reason. He's requesting a trade. He's done nothing in the league to ever warrant a trade, or demanding a trade, I should say. And you still have nobody to defend the rim.
That's exactly what you're saying. Is like, you know, he hasn't, like, to me, I just think Marjon Beauchamp at 26 is incredible value. Like, I really don't.
Sure.
Like, I think that, like, Marjon Beauchamp to me, like, I would say if Tari Eason was off the board at 17, I would say take Beauchamp at 17 because I wouldn't think that he'd be available at 26. That being said, I just think with Beauchamp, like, they can get really good value for where they're at. He's familiar with all of the guys. Like, he's familiar with Paolo. He's familiar with Jalen Green. He's familiar, like, G League Ignite. That's a selling point, because I think what we've seen is how strong the G League Ignite products, Jalen Green and Dacian Nix, have shown through just one season. And I'm expecting a similar growth between year one and year two. And I think that with Beauchamp, I think we could see that potential there. Like, this draft is not very deep, but if you can get a guy like Beauchamp late in the first round, I think that could be a steal down the line. I really do. I don't – like, to me, I think Marjon Beauchamp's a top 20 player in this class, and he could have a top 10 career in this class if he ends up in the right position. And I think Houston could be that for him. But to go back to what Alex was saying, because he also mentioned about Eric Gordon, I do want to get into that. I'm glad you brought it up, because this is probably the most important thing that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm reading, and this is what I'm seeing. And Alex, if you want to jump in and correct me or add on, or feel free. But the Rockets have an offer, number 23 from Philly, for Eric Gordon. And I know Mike's probably saying, yes, take it. And yeah, you probably do want to take it. But I do think the reason why that deal hasn't been taken, if it's been offered, is because the Rockets don't want to do what they did last year and have a surplus of picks, because they're noticing what's happening with KJ Martin. And you don't want to have 8 first round picks in 2 drafts alone, because you're not going to be able to develop all of those guys. I think Rafael Stone's goal is to end up with 2.5 players out of this class
whether it be two or whether it be three. I don't think he wants more than three. I think more than three is a bit too much for right now. But what I think that deal with Philly hinges on is whether they can get 17 and 26 and possibly move up. Like, if there's a chance that they can package 17 and 26 and move up to, let's say, 11 or 13 with Charlotte, 11 with New York, like those kind of places, then yes, then you can say, okay, yeah, 23 for Gordon deal. Like, I think that could happen. The Suns are also interested in Eric Gordon. That's not been a surprise. If they offer a 2023 first-round pick, you take it. Because in 23, to my knowledge, they only have two firsts right now. They would add a third, and then they can go from there. I don't think that they want more than three guys tomorrow night. So their goal should be moving up. If they can find a way to – so that means that if they take this Philly deal, they're probably going to need another team to get in on that deal and make it a three-team trade.
Alex, anything to add?
What would y'all think about if they package those picks to get, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, to get a guy like Jalen Duren?
To get Duren. So, like, at what? What pick? Like,
they'd probably have to get to 11.
Probably.
Oh, 11?
I expect Jalen Duren to be gone by 11. So
ooh, that's a hot take.
I don't know if that's, like, super hot. It's not cold, but it's not. It's lukewarm. This is a lukewarm take.
Yeah, CBS Sports has him going 12 to Oklahoma City. I don't think he would make it past Oklahoma City.
I think he could go in a couple of different places. Like New York at 11 is probably like the lowest I'd see him go.
Well, I also think what happens obviously with the board in front of him. Like if let me see how I want to say this.
Like, Duren is intriguing. Like, if you come out of this draft with Paolo and Duren, that's a great draft. That's an A draft for me. If you can get Paolo and Duren, yeah, sure. But I don't know how plausible that is. Like Jacob's saying in the comments, 17, 23, 26, KJ for seven. Like, Portland's not going to take that. Like,
well, I think Portland's moving in the direction of win now, guys, with Lillard.
Yeah, so, like, they don't need picks. Like, it's this draft is so weird because – after the first three picks, this draft is going to go haywire because there's a lot of teams in the late lottery that might not want to pick. Like, you have Charlotte at 13. You have, Cleveland at 14. And then when you get into the 20s, that's when it goes completely off the rails because you have a whole bunch of teams that are in win now mode that really don't need a pick. Like, that's why Dallas traded 26 because they really – have no reason to take a guy in the late 20s. That's just not going to be in their playoff rotation. Like, it really just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You also have Denver that has two picks between 20 and 30. You have Memphis who has two picks between 20 and 30. You have Philly who's trying to get out of 23. So the opportunity to trade tomorrow will be there, and it will be there multiple times. But I think tomorrow is not about making a move for the sense of making a move. It's about making a move that works best for the Rockets. And I really don't think that there is a move that makes a whole lot of sense for the Rockets unless they can get into the lottery, like the back end of the lottery. So, like, that's why I say 13 with Charlotte makes a whole lot of sense because they are trying to find a way to – because they have 13 and 15. So they're trying to get a way to get one of those guys out of there. And they're willing to package Gordon Hayward to do it. And – I don't necessarily know if the Rockets should take on Gordon Hayward. I really don't like that idea. But if you got a first-round pick out of it, it could be – you know, that could be a move that you would consider.
No, I think all that is spot on. Alex, thank you so much for joining the show tonight, my man. You got it, man.
Would you do that, Mike? Hayward in 13, like for Eric Gordon or something? I don't even know. Like, I don't know what they would want. Like,
I tell you this. I'm leaning towards the deal with Philadelphia if I can get Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
You know, Matisse Thybulle is the type of guy that would be the perfect addition to this roster. And the type of deal that you'd probably be looking at would be Gordon and maybe 17 for Thybulle
They don't want to pick in return. Like they don't want to pick.
Yeah.
They want to get a win now veteran.
It might be Gordon and KJ. You know, Gordon and KJ.
I doubt KJ gets traded. I really don't think.
You don't think he's going to get traded?
No.
Okay. That's why a odd, would the that's an interesting
like,
take.
Literally, why would the Rockets trade him? Give me one reason other than the fact that he asked for it.
Well, I mean that's it. If they look at him, well, if they look at it and they say he's not a part of our long-term success, I mean, it comes back to
you can't say that yet. You can't.
You can't. You can't. No,
I said a couple of episodes ago that he should maybe be a starter. Start him at the three. Like, there's no reason to trade KJ at this point. It does not make any sense for the Rockets unless they were to get some major package. Like, but I can't even think of a package that would make sense in return for KJ Martin. So, no, there's no reason to trade KJ Martin. Rafael Stone has gone on record and said that he's one of his favorite players. He was, I think, one of the first players that was drafted because he was in that 2020 draft. I can't remember if Rafael Stone was the GM at the time or not, but there's no reason for KJ to get traded. And honestly, what I say to KJ Martin is I understand KJ's frustrated. I understand why he's frustrated, but there is an opportunity for him to grab a hold of a major spot on this team. And for whatever reason, why he hasn't yet, I'm not sure, but there's more growing for KJ to do. And like, that's the thing is there has to be some kind of patience. And I understand why KJ is impatient if he is, but to me, I don't see any reason why KJ Martin should get traded. And if he does, I will genuinely be shocked because I just don't see why Rafael Stone would do it.
Well, unless
he got something incredible in return.
Well, I also think it depends on what happens tomorrow night because I think you're going to create more of a logjam at his position. For example,
but what if you don't?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they take Boncaro and they take Tari Eason, you have Garuba, you have Jayshon Tate. That's four guys already that you would argue you need to have in the lineup ahead of KJ. Arguably,
I would not say put Garuba in the lineup over KJ. I wouldn't even say put Tari Eason in the lineup over KJ.
Arguably, Garuba is your first or second best guy to defend the rim. You don't have another guy. What's his name?
I feel like Garuba and KJ are very different positions. Like, there is still a very...
I'm not saying they're the same position. I'm just saying you have to get him minutes. There's only 240 minutes to go around.
I would say you need to get KJ minutes more than you need to get Garuba minutes.
Okay, but answer this question, though. Who defends the rim outside of Şengün, who doesn't do it all that well? You don't have one guy outside of Garuba.
Maybe you work Boncaro into that role, too. Like,
but Boncaro can't do that. That's not his game.
And maybe they do go get Nick Claxton or something like that.
Sure, I would love that move. But
like,
I do think
a big is coming. Like it's whether it's through the draft or whether it's through free agency, they will add a big this offseason. And hopefully one that can defend the rim a little bit better. You know what would be interesting? I mean, yes. This is not going to happen, obviously, but like imagine Daniel Tice was on the team now. Like things would be a little bit different.
I told you when it happened, I thought they gave up way too early on him.
Well,
because they played him out of position. Yes, they tried to play him on the perimeter.
Yeah. Yes, you know, and no. I understood it at the time, but in hindsight, yes, it was not the right move. But ultimately, they got, you know, what they got out of it. And I think all parties are happy with where they are right
now.
Do
you think – I think one big question mark tomorrow night is Sacramento. Because I think Sacramento with that fourth pick is going to throw things – that's where the chaos, in my opinion,
could start.
I think if they're smart, they take Jaden Ivey. What do you think Sacramento does with four tomorrow?
I think they take Keegan Murray.
You do?
I do, because Jaden Ivey has not worked out for them, has not met with them.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's the reason. Like Jaden Ivey is the best player on my board after the top three. So that's where I would go personally.
Mm-hmm.
He has the best chance to be like an all-star out of everyone else left. But given the fact that you know, Jaden Ivey has no recorded relationship with them. I mean, look, there is a chance that it could happen. Like, Alper and Şengün never met with Houston before they drafted him. So, like, there is a chance that player, like, that's not the end-all be-all of, you know, where players are going to go. But Sacramento should trade out of that position simply because they can get so much more in return. And, like, the fourth pick in this draft is not going to get them much further than where they already are. And I feel like adding Jaden Ivey, like, I think part of the reason why they haven't met with him is because they don't feel the need to add another guard. I think they saw that it really just didn't work with Fox and Halliburton and Davion Mitchell. And I think that they should move forward just with Fox and Mitchell and not try to interfere with that too much. So that's why I'd expect them to go elsewhere other than guard. But they should trade out of that. Like, I know they're getting offers. They, like, Washington should be trading into that position. The Knicks, I know, are looking into that position as well. They're only 6 or 7 spots back. I know Oklahoma City might want to possibly move into that role as well, and they've got a ton of ammo to work with. I think there is this, like, OKC, like, imagine if they traded up to 4 and got Chet and Ivy.
Yeah, that's
that'd be pretty wild.
That, see, I would love that move for them, and then you combine that with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Let me ask you this, just on the Rockets front, right? Let's say Jabari goes 1. I think you and I are on the same page. I think Jabari's going 1.
At this point, I'd be shocked if it didn't go Jabari, Chet, Paolo in that order.
Okay. But let me ask you this. Let me put this on the table, because I do think that this is possible. If Paolo Banchero goes 2, what would you do if you were the Rockets?
Cry.
Okay. Well, after you were done crying and you had some time left on the clock to draft a guy, where Chet. You would go Chet over Ivy?
Here's the thing, Mike.
Okay.
I will say the Chet versus Ivy debate that we had the other day.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's changed.
Mike, you, like, that's the closest you've been to, like, convincing me to change my argument in, okay, like, 2 years of doing this podcast.
That's awesome.
Like, there's never, like, I don't think you have argued an argument, like, that has appealed to my, like, rhetoric better than that argument. And I firmly do believe that Ivy is, like, a better option than Chet, long term. I do have a lot of question marks about Chet and whether or not he's going to be able to live up to all of what people are saying he could be. But it is my duty on this podcast to play the role of thinking what the front office is thinking.
Okay.
And not necessarily my personal belief, because, you know, yes, like, at the end of the day, you know, yes, my opinion does matter, but at the end of the, like, but really it doesn't. Like, that's just kind of been my wiring as a news person, is like, people don't really care about what your opinion is. They care about the facts. And I'm a facts guy. So the facts are the Rockets need a big, and the facts are the Rockets need a player like one of the top three. And the fact is, the three players that are projected to go in the top three are consensus around the league. So that's why I believe if Paolo somehow went 2, shook everything up, Chet will go 3.
That's fair.
Or if
I was just checking in,
like, Chet and, like, all three of those guys would be off the board by the time number 4 goes. That is a fact. Like, that is 100% fact. I really don't, like, I wouldn't say put it in Sharpie, but I'll say put it in Sharpie and have your little whiteout, like, at the grocery store, and then drive to the grocery store if you need it. But, like, I really don't think that it's going to happen.
That's fair. Well, I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for this evening, as tomorrow night, it's a big one. We're excited, man. We'll be live at 6:45 here on Spotify Live. We will have a room going the entire first round of the NBA draft. Jeremy, I know you're going to be very, very busy tomorrow, but obviously we hope you can stop by to talk all things Houston Rockets. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Thank you to DJ. Thank you to Alex for stopping by tonight. We are going to take all of your calls tomorrow night once the Rockets make a pick. Drop in, give your take. We're here for all of the smoke and fire tomorrow. Check out The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. You can follow The Dream Shake on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my very talented co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, at
Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner.
You can follow me on Twitter at BSW_MB. If you're on Facebook, search The Dream Shake. Give us a like there. Finally, head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets all the time. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at 6:45. Rockets fans, go Rockets!